Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. 6 minutes after 11 here on a Sunday night. We're back to full power. We have our producer back, Lisa, Elif Garris. She just kind of went missing for a little while there. She was just...
I think she had enough for like, a little while, but she missed us so
I'm
much she
here.
Came back.
I think she got tired of working with me.
You. I was going to say
it. It is. Yeah. You're a big problem.
I am
you're a big problem.
I'm pretty much
no.
A,
he's a lot of work.
Kind of a pain.
Not at all.
But, you know, that's just who I am. I'm a pain.
Mm-hmm.
This is the WGN Radio Theater program 158 in the series. And this is February 26th, right? Pretty sure. Yeah, February 26th.
Sure is.
And we'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning playing your favorite classic radio shows, including The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, then The Great Gildersleeve, and The Sealed Book, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
And my co-host is Lisa Wolf. I don't know if I said hi to you yet, Lisa.
You didn't.
Oh, hi, Lisa
Wolf. You
were
so overwhelmed with
Well,
Elif
Bill Curtis
back.
Said your name, so
he sure did.
There you go.
But
all right.
I want you to say it.
All right, Lisa Wolf,
okay,
my co-host.
Okay, here we go.
The vivacious Lisa.
This actress reprises her role as a stay-at-home mom of four in the upcoming comedy Bad Moms Christmas. It's the sequel to the 2016 film Bad Moms.
What do they win?
They will win a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's home in Chicago's Best Pizza.
All right, 312-981-7200. That's our number. Here's a hint. She's one of the stars of Couples Retreat.
I'm 1/12 Latina, and even if I wasn't, I'm 100% human, so I don't appreciate comments like that.
All right, there you go. 312-981-7200. Who is that very pretty actress? We'll find our winner after these words.
All right. This is show 158 of the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play that movie clip one more time.
I'm 1/12 Latina. And even if I wasn't, I'm 100% human. So I don't appreciate comments like that.
And
I
she's
like
feisty,
her.
Right?
I got to work with her.
I know. She's,
yeah, she's really cool.
She's cute. Well, we have who's on the line?
Vin.
Vin from Genoa City. Hey, Vin. Vin?
Vin.
Hey.
I'm here.
There you are. We couldn't hear you. Is that short for Vinny?
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, Vin, tell us who that actress is.
Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell. She's fantastic. One of Carl's favorites. And we're so glad that you're a winner. We're going to give you a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's Pizza. It is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. You can also order online at loumalnatis.com. And thanks so much for calling in. We're glad you got that right, and we're glad you're listening to us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, Vin, stay on the line, okay, because we want to get your information.
She's got it.
All right, very cool. All right, so you know what, Lisa? I got
what,
to
Carl?
Work with Kristen. She played Mary Magdalene in the Word of God audio Bible that I talk about here on the radio, which you can go to wordofgodaudiobible.com to learn all about it. Yeah, she's one of the cast members, and she was great to work with. She did a great job as Mary Magdalene.
She's a great little actress.
Yeah, she is. All right, The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe. It was a detective adventure starring Sidney Greenstreet as Rex Stout's gargantuan gourmet detective. It first aired April of 1943 with J.B. Williams as the obese detective. It was heard on the Blue Network starring Santos Ortega and then later Louis Van Ruten. But there was a lot of guys that played Nero Wolfe, but the most successful series was the one with Sidney Greenstreet, and that began in 1950. We have an episode for you now from February 16th, 1951, called The Case of the Party for Death. Here's part one of The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell brings you mystery, adventure. Nero Wolfe's office, Archie Goodwin speaking.
No, I'm sorry. Mr. Wolf is busy planning a menu. I'll see if he can talk to you. What's the name again? You want to talk to a dame named Mrs. Collins?
Hang on, Archie.
Do we know a Mrs. Collins?
No.
I don't suppose you care, but I think her voice is very charming.
Doubtless. Every female has a charming voice to you. Hang up.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mrs. Collins, but at the moment, Mr. Wolf is too involved with his digestive system to be interrupted. However, if I may introduce myself, Archie Goodwin, Mr. Wolf's assistant, if I can be of any help...
Archie.
Yes, Mrs. Collins, I'll ask him. Cocktail party.
Hang up, Archie.
Mrs. Collins, I'm afraid it would be better if you didn't expect Mr. Wolf. Goodbye. Cocktails. Fooey.
Sad, very absurd.
She says you promised to come to her cocktail party, and why aren't you there?
Because you are going to attend the cocktail party and the probable unpleasant ending.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that genius who is the bulkiest, balkiest, the most ponderous, and most brilliant detective in the world. Yes, none other than that chair-borne mass of unpredictable intellect, Nero Wolfe, created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
Mr. Wolf and I refer to this as the case of the party for death. Nero Wolf really should have gone to the party since he'd accepted, but I was delegated. I can't complain now since it was there that I met Georgia, the most beautiful redhead. Well, that's my weakness, redheads. Yeah, blondes and brunettes. Well, anyway, Mr. Wolf was adamant about going to the party.
I've never been to a cocktail party in my life. You know, I drink nothing but beer.
You could take your beer with you, couldn't you?
I could not.
Do we know a Mrs. Collins whose cocktail party you said you'd go to?
The phone rang and I picked it up.
Where was I?
Exactly.
Okay. So a Mrs. Collins with a beautiful, seductive voice conned you into accepting an invitation to a cocktail party that you knew you weren't going to.
Archie.
Yes, Master.
Just a little less sarcasm, perhaps.
Sarcasm?
Call it impertinence, then.
Impertinence, Master?
Exactly. Less of that. Much less.
Okay.
Continue now.
Where was I?
You were reading the duck recipe.
Oh, yes, the duck. Oh, here we are. Dodine de canard. The dodine is one of the oldest dishes in the repertory of French cooking, being mentioned in books of the 14th century. Le Grand Cuisinier de Toute Cuisinie.
Hooey, what time is it, Archie?
Almost 6:30.
Oh, in that case...
You gonna get up?
Here on this card are your instructions, Archie. If you are still alive tomorrow, you may make your report.
I helped the huge bulk that was Nero Wolfe out of his specially built desk chair and walked with him to the elevator that would take him upstairs to his orchids. I stepped back to the desk and found the card which bore my instructions. In his small, perfect handwriting, I read, Mrs. Albert Collins, Empire Towers. Arrive at 7, say I sent you. After the murder, telephone me before the police arrive. At exactly 7, I rang Mrs. Collins' doorbell. Mrs. Collins?
I'm Mrs. Collins.
I'm Archie Goodwin. We talked on the phone a little while ago.
Oh yes. Well, come in, Mr. Goodwin.
Mr. Wolf begs to be excused. At the last moment, he was unable to attend.
Well, I'm glad you could come.
You're not disappointed?
No, I don't think so. I'm rather upset. I'm afraid, Mr. Goodwin, for my life. That's why I called Mr. Wolf. Oh, just drop your hat and coat there, Mr. Goodwin.
May I tell you something, Mrs. Collins?
Well, of course, Mr. Goodwin.
Archie will do.
Archie?
When I spoke to you on the phone, I thought I knew what you'd look like.
And?
You do.
Well, is that good?
It's not bad, Mrs. Collins.
Janie will do.
Janie will do.
Archie, I think it would be best if I say you're an old beau of mine.
From where?
In Hollywood. When I went to Hollywood High School and you went to USC.
Okay, but don't expect me to remember much about it.
I'd be flattered if you remember anything about it. I want you to keep your eyes and ears open. Observe everything tonight. Well, now shall we join the party? Oh, Albert, this is Archie Goodwin. Archie, this is my husband, Albert.
How do you do?
Hello.
And this is Joe Boyce, my husband's partner.
How do you do?
Boyce?
I've told you about Archie, Albert, but well, I guess you probably don't remember, do you?
No, I don't.
When I was in high school and he went to USC.
Oh. Oh, yeah, sure. What'll you have, Goodwin?
I'd like a plain lime and soda.
Oh, not really. A teetotaler now?
Yes, I used to overdo it, uh-huh. Remember?
So you knew my wife in Hollywood?
Quite a while ago, though.
Uh-huh. Been here long?
Oh, a while.
Did you and my wife run into each other again just lately?
Yeah.
A few days ago?
About.
Joe Boyce here is my partner, chemical business. Makes this sort of an old home week, doesn't it, Joe?
In a way, Al. I guess it does at that.
Joe knew my wife back in those days, too. And they're still very friendly. Yes. Yes, indeed. You two have got something in common to talk about, haven't you, Goodwin?
Mrs. Collins, you mean? We never knew each other very well.
No? Okay, Goodwin, let it go.
Why, look. Look what I found. A new man. Just what I need. I'm Georgia.
Archie.
Archie, dear, will you fix up my drink, please?
Anything for a lady.
Let's go to the bar, eh, Archie?
I'm determined, Joe. If it were only the money, our only Jane, I might listen.
Oh, Al, can't we talk about it later?
I like talking about it now, Joe.
You're going to be sorry about this, Al.
I am already. But you will have 20 years or so in prison just being sorry. I've got the papers you forged right here.
You're hysterical, Al. Let's face it. The firm went broke, but I suffered too. So let's forget it.
Yes, Joe, the firm went broke, but you didn't. And I don't think my wife did either. The two of you had everything figured for yourselves. Well, I'm turning the papers over to the DA tomorrow.
Nero Wolf speaking.
Archie, what do you know about this expected murder, if anything?
Has it happened yet?
No, but who's supposed to get killed?
I haven't the faintest idea, Archie.
Then why don't you stop it?
That is impossible. I don't even know who's there.
You want me to tell you?
Not in the least.
How am I supposed to prevent it if I don't know what I'm looking for?
You're not supposed to prevent it, Archie. I don't think you could. I don't think anybody could.
You want to hear what I found out already?
No.
I'll tell you anyway. Collins thinks his wife and his partner, Boyce, have been stealing his dough, and he's threatening to send Boyce to the clink.
Archie.
Yeah?
You're wasting our time. Go back to the party. There is nothing you can do to prevent the murder. But I want you to be there when it happens.
Now that all the guests have gone, let's sit down here, Georgia.
When Janie was in Hollywood, she must have had more good-looking boyfriends.
Let's get personal about this, Georgia.
Yeah, let's.
When you say good-looking, do you mean me?
I don't mean anybody else, Archie.
You know, I think you're pretty, too.
You'd better not let Jane hear you say that.
You think she'd care?
I thought you knew Jane.
Only slightly. You don't like Jane too well, do you?
Why?
Why? Why what?
Why don't you tell the truth about it? No man as attractive as you ever knew Jane slightly. Either they knew her or they didn't know her. Maybe you think I'm getting a little tipsy.
The idea never occurred to me.
No? Well, it has to me.
Refill your glass?
I'll come with you to the bar.
Well, here's your drink, Georgia. Oh, I find there's no ice left in the ice bucket.
Janie? Hey, Janie, no ice.
Oh, well, I'll get some. Here, give me the bucket.
Mrs. Collins, Janie, I mean.
Yes, Archie.
May I use the phone in the bedroom again?
Oh, of course. Will
you excuse me for a minute, Georgia?
I'm coming with you.
Why don't you just stay here until Jane brings the ice? Well, why don't you go talk to Joe Boyce?
I don't want to talk to Joe Boyce. I don't want to talk to Joe Boyce ever.
Now, look, Georgia.
I'm coming with you, Archie. Is that clear?
Okay, come on.
Here's where the phone is.
I could have found it myself.
You don't want me with you, do you?
Just sit down here on the edge of the bed and listen, if that's what you want to do.
Nero Wolf speaking.
Archie, boss.
Well, Archie, what?
Just a bit of a report.
Go on.
At this moment, I am sitting on the edge of one of two twin beds in the apartment of Mr. and Mrs. Albert Collins. Sitting next to me is a gorgeous redhead named Georgia. Georgia what, dear?
Boyce.
You mean you're the wife of Joe Boyce?
Of course. Didn't you know?
I am sitting next to the gorgeous redheaded wife of Albert Collins' partner, Joe Boyce.
Archie, you annoy me.
From what I just learned, I can see there's another friction going on.
You mean Georgia and Jane?
Yep, fireworks between them. This one no like other one.
Have you anything more to say?
When I call, I was going to ask if there's any reason why I shouldn't come home now.
I wrote your instructions for you, Archie.
After the murder, call you.
Yeah, that's perfectly clear, isn't it?
But what if there isn't any?
Don't call me. Simple, isn't it?
Hello. He hung up.
Archie.
What?
That was a strange conversation.
Do you want me to explain it to you, honey?
What was that business about murder?
Shall we join the party?
Murder. Archie, wouldn't you be surprised if there was one?
Yeah? Who's going to do what and to whom?
I don't know. Maybe I will.
Elucidate, honey. Do you intend to figure as the killer or the corpse?
I don't intend to figure as anything. But you never know. Archie, do you think Jane Collins is better looking than me?
No.
Honestly?
Honestly.
Then what's the matter with me?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, yes, there is. Look, do you want to kiss me?
Well, I'll tell you. When I graduated from Sunday school, I took a vow.
That's what I mean. But if I were Jane, you'd want to kiss me, wouldn't you?
No, frankly, no.
Why not?
Well, when I graduated from Sunday school, I...
Okay, Archie. Let's go back. You boys have such happy faces. Where's Jane?
In the kitchen getting some ice. Where have you been?
With Archie.
Is he an old school chum of yours, too?
Do you care, Joe?
No.
Mr. Boyce.
What?
How much do you weigh?
187. Why?
Then I'll be giving you 5 pounds. Shall we step outside?
This I have got to see.
Shut up. Mr. Goodwin, you seem angry.
Just terribly, terribly hurt.
Would it do any good if I apologized? Today I'm a little upset. If I said anything to offend you, I do apologize. Now, if you still want me to give you a boxing lesson, I'm at your service.
Let's forget it. I'm sorry, too. Jane Collins came in from the kitchen with a bucket of ice cubes, a tray of fresh glasses, and the strapless gown she'd been wearing.
There. I never thought I'd make it. Now I'm going to mix my own drink, and you can take care of yourselves. Ice first. Huh? Whiskey. And soda. It's a simple recipe, isn't it, Archie?
All it needs is the ingredients.
I drink to the ingredients. Ah, nice.
Janie, darling.
What, dear?
Would you mind very much if I took Archie away from you?
Haven't you done that already, dear?
To listen to those girls, you'd think, wouldn't you, Goodwin?
Me, I never think.
What do you do, Archie?
I concentrate.
On what?
On not thinking.
All right, that's the first portion of The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe from February 16th, 1951, with the case of the Party for Death. Let's take a break, then it's more on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. Thanks, Roger, and thanks, Esmeralda. This is the WGN Radio Theater. Lisa Wolfe and I are here until 2 a.m. Our producer is Elif Garris, when she's not moonlighting somewhere else.
Look what he did there.
Yeah, picked up on that.
Remember last night when you guys thought you got the order wrong for tonight's shows?
That was Carl.
Yeah, well, right, but it reminded me of tonight's Academy Awards. Where they got it mixed up.
Yeah, there was a little mix-up.
Yeah.
They announced La La Land, but it was really Moonlight.
Yeah.
So we're going to be seeing that.
Did anyone even see Moonlight?
A whole lot of people saw Moonlight.
Oh, really? It got like 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Somebody's
I heard it was
there.
Good. Yeah, I heard it was good.
Really? Who's in there?
Well, the guy, Marcella Ali won Best Supporting Actor.
I thought it was Bruce Willis.
A moonlighting.
Oh, by day.
Yeah. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Naomi Harris was in it. Janelle Monáe, Trayvon.
Well, these are all names I've heard of.
Marshall
Ali.
What he said.
Well, you know what? We'll be seeing this on the internet. It's like the Steve Harvey of the Oscars.
Right. Well, they've already brought that out.
Oh, really?
That was one of the first memes.
Well, that's kind
out.
Of what, you know, that's yeah. that was the same thing.
Okay. Sorry, but we got to get into this
show. Okay, let's do it.
All right, let's get back now to the new adventures of Nero Wolfe.
I did some serious concentrating on not thinking about Nero Wolfe or about the conflict of the partners, Albert Collins and Joe Boyce, about the jealousies of Jane and Georgia. The next 5 minutes hardly seemed an hour. Jane and Boyce murmured to each other. Collins drank gently but firmly.
Why can't you be honest, Archie? What's the matter with me?
What, Georgia?
You weren't listening, were you?
To every gorgeous word you said.
What did I say?
I want to hear it again, just the way you said it before.
I said, why shouldn't there be a murder? Why not? It's an order.
It's just not considered the thing to do.
Thing to do? Can you think of anything better?
No, frankly.
I can. My glass is empty.
My glass is empty, too. Jane. Jane!
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not much of a hostess, am I? Oh, don't answer that. Oh, you're all empty. But I've only drunk half of mine.
You don't usually drink so slowly, Jane.
Oh, I'm just not in the mood tonight. I usually drink faster to keep you from drinking mine. See, Albert always gulps his and then reaches for mine.
What's the difference?
Well, I'll fix you some fresh drinks, but put my drink over there by you, Georgia. And lay off, Albert. I only had about 3 swallows of it. Besides, you don't need any more.
I suppose we know what dear Jane is going to do, don't we?
Lay off, will you?
Lay off. It's my husband who said that, Archie. Archie, meet my husband, Mr. Boyce. I will now explain why dear Jane took our glasses away to the kitchen when she could have poured a drink right here.
Listen, George,
will you... Mr. Boyce is speaking, Archie. What, Mr. Boyce?
Nuts.
Mr. Boyce says nuts, Mr. Goodwin. What do you say, Mr. Collins?
I think Joe has covered the field.
We were talking, weren't we, Archie?
Possibly.
We were talking about dear Jane. She's got to be always the prettiest, always devastating. Right now, she's putting on a completely new face. And in about 20 minutes, when our tongues are hanging out, she'll come back, all horsed up and bright and smiling, with another tray of drinks.
Yeah, she'll take all night to fix them.
Well, I'm going to get some air on the balcony.
Don't jump off. Al, you're drinking too much lately.
I shouldn't worry you, Joe. Especially now.
When you start drinking not only your drinks, but everybody else's too, well... Ah, Jane's right.
Is that what worries you? Slide Jane's glass down. The ice is all melted.
You see what I mean?
Okay, Joe, let's not be nasty until tomorrow. That gives me an idea. Think I'll propose a toast. Until tomorrow. And you know, it may be rather fitting that I should drink a toast from the glass that Janie left. Until tomorrow.
Go! Al. Al? Jane? Janie!
Albert! Oh, Albert.
Nero Wolfe speaking.
May I come home now?
Oh, hello, Archie.
I said, may I come home now?
Have you sent for the police, Inspector Kramer?
Of course.
Who was killed, Archie?
Albert Collins.
How, Archie?
I don't know. You were right, though, weren't you?
Naturally. About what?
Murder.
Oh, that. We can talk about it tomorrow. Good night, Archie. Come home when you can.
What do you mean, come home when I can?
You'll be held as a witness, won't you? Try not to wake me with the elevator when you come in.
Well, Inspector Kramer, you've had me here at headquarters for a long while. For quite a long while. Haven't you asked me enough questions?
Goodwin, you say you never saw these people before, Collins or Boyce or their wives. Yet when all the other guests had gone, you were still there.
I guess I just don't know how to say goodbye.
You didn't know they were partners in a chemical company. You didn't know that Boyce had forged a lot of papers with Collins' name.
All I know is what you tell me.
Goodwin.
Yes, sir?
I'm trying to be nice.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know, of course, that you went to that party because Nero Wolf told you to.
Do you?
My question is, how did Wolf know it was going to happen?
Why don't you ask him?
I already have.
He told you?
He says he never heard of Collins or Boyce.
Did he say he'd ever heard of me?
He says he isn't responsible for you or your shady friends. Maybe he knows I found a poison pellet in George's bag.
Inspector, may I make an important call?
Go ahead.
Archie, Archie. Confounded light. Hello?
What time is it, Master?
Confound it, Archie.
I'll tell you what time it is. It's a little after 4 a.m. I'm at Central Headquarters, and Inspector Kramer has been chatting with me about my shady friends.
Kramer is a jackass.
Just a second. Pick up the other phone, will you, Inspector? Sorry, Mr. Wolf. What was that you were saying about Inspector Kramer?
I said Kramer is a jackass.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. Wolf!
Oh? Eavesdropping, Inspector.
I was just talking about bringing you down here for a little questioning, Wolf.
Phooey.
What's that?
Phooey. It can be spelled in several ways. I spell it P-F-U-I. Phooey.
You think I won't bring you down here as a material witness?
Yes, I think you won't. I think you'd be making a great mistake if you did.
A great mistake? Why?
Because I might not tell you who killed Collins. And you wouldn't know which one of these people to prefer charges against. Now send Archie home. Even he needs an occasional night's sleep.
What do you think of that? He hung up.
So it seems. Busy? He's probably left the phone off the hook, Inspector. By now he's probably asleep again.
You know I can go out there, don't you?
Sure you can. More important men than you have tried it. And where are they now?
Goodwin?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to let you go.
I'm sure Mr. Wolf and I are very grateful, Inspector.
You want to know why I'm letting you go?
I know why.
Why?
Because if you're nice and cooperative and don't make too much trouble, Mr. Wolf will solve this case for you and tell you whom to prefer charges against.
Goodwin.
Sir?
Get out.
Thank you, Inspector. Good morning, Inspector. At 3 o'clock the next afternoon, I was rearranging the furniture in Nero Wolf's office while the great man sat behind his desk watching me perspire.
Are you finished now, Archie?
I guess so.
And tell me where they sat.
There were two couches, like this, in front of a fireplace. Collins and Boyce were sitting together on one couch. When Georgia and I came in, they were looking at some canceled checks.
Where was Mrs. Collins?
I told you she was getting ice and fresh glasses.
Why was she getting fresh glasses, Archie? Where were the empty ones?
I don't know. Maybe they were the same ones she brought back washed and polished.
Archie, I trust your powers of observation absolutely. That's why I sent you to Mrs. Collins' cocktail party.
Okay, how did you know there was going to be a murder? If it was a murder.
It was a murder, Archie. But isn't it obvious?
How is it obvious? Suppose Collins slipped a few drops of the poison into his drink himself.
It's very strong, very deadly poison, with a remarkably strong odor.
Like almonds, I know. I smelled it when I picked him up.
Archie, was anything found on the body that might have contained the poison, a fountain pen, whatever?
Not even that.
Inspector Kramer found a poison pellet in Georgia's handbag. He thinks he poisoned Collins' drink.
Say, could be. But it wasn't his drink, it was his wife's. Then Georgia was trying to kill Jane, and Collins got it by mistake.
We shall soon see, Archie.
I was expecting a murder because you told me to expect it. I watched every move that everybody made. There is no possibility that Jane's glass, the glass with the poison in it, was tampered with by anybody.
Yes, I believe.
Okay.
Archie, you're sore, aren't you?
Have you ever spent the night with Inspector Kramer? He's really a good man, too. Why did you say he was a jackass?
Because he didn't know who killed Collins.
Do you?
Of course. Is there ever any question about it?
Just a moment, please.
The only trouble is it may be difficult to prove. That's why we are giving this little cocktail party this afternoon with the help of Inspector Kramer. By the way...
Yes?
Call Mrs. Collins and tell her to bring a bucket of ice from her refrigerator.
Why?
Because our refrigerator's broken down.
No, it hasn't. I was just out in the kitchen a minute ago.
Our refrigerator has broken down. And it would be very helpful if Mrs. Collins would bring a bucket of ice cubes.
What makes you think she'll do it?
She will. Call her.
6:45. There we were in Wolf's office doing a repeat performance of last night's smash hit. Two couches faced each other, a cocktail table between them. On one couch, red-headed Georgia and me. On the other couch, it was a big one, Joe Boyce, Jane Collins, widow of the lately defunct Albert, and Nero Wolf. Jane had been drinking a little slower than the rest of us. Our glasses were empty. Hers was still half full. Wolf said...
Margie.
Yeah?
At this point in last night's party, Mrs. Collins got up and left to get some fresh drinks. Repeat what she said.
Approximately?
Approximately will do.
I think she said something like this. She said, put my drink over by you, Georgia. Lay off, Albert. I've had about three swallows of it. Besides, you don't need any more, Albert. Am I right, Jane?
Close enough, Archie. But what of it?
No, what is this nonsense all about, Wolf?
Mr. Wolf is trying to make something out of nothing.
I think Mr. Wolf is going to turn up something mighty interesting. Don't look so perturbed, Joe.
Since I am playing the part of the late Mr. Collins, pass me Jane's glass.
I'll keep my glass, Mr. Wolf. I haven't finished my drink.
You're a very clever woman, Mrs. Collins.
Would it be too much if I ask what this is all about?
What is you, Archie?
You make it sound as if that drink she's holding is poison. But it can't be, because as yesterday, she's already drunk half of it herself.
When our freezer broke down, she was more than willing to bring a bucket of ice cubes, wasn't she?
So?
What would happen, Archie, if you froze a gelatine-coated pellet of poison in the center of one particular ice cube? Mrs. Collins hasn't finished her drink. Notice the ice is all melted now. She hasn't taken one sip since the ice melted completely. She came prepared in case she was exposed. Smell it, Archie.
No, Archie, stand back. I can easily swallow this before you can reach me. Mr. Wolf, in a few seconds, I'll drink it. Tell me something first. Tell me how you knew.
Jane, listen to me.
I knew there was going to be a murder last night because you said so. I knew that it was you who would commit the murder because it was you who invited me. You hoped an expert witness would prove that you couldn't have killed your husband. So I sent Archie Goodwin, whose observations are always exact, even when he doesn't know the import of what he's observing.
She brought back clean glasses. She poured the drinks out of bottles already open. And if anybody had put anything in or touched one of those glasses, I would have seen it.
Exactly. The poison pellet was frozen in a certain ice cube. Mrs. Collins put that cube in her own drink, drank it until the ice had almost melted down to the poisonous pellet center. And then she took all the other glasses away, leaving only hers half full. And as usual, her husband drank it.
No, Jane, don't. Don't.
Too late, Joe. It's too late.
Well, boss, Jane didn't get away with the suicide try. I was clever thinking you did.
I prepared a cube of ice in which I had frozen a gelatine capsule containing nothing more than a vitamin compound. I substituted for the cube in which Jane had placed the poison for herself.
Wonder why Jane Collins wanted to have Joe. He'd stolen practically all the money in the company. He's just a crook.
Birds of a feather, Archie. I don't believe Joe Boyce had any idea that Jane was planning a murder. And he still had all the money.
Well, the forgeries will put him away for a long time. And poor Georgia could have had it pinned on her if it hadn't been for me.
Yes, yes. You knew all along, didn't you, that Jane had planned to have Georgia accused by planting another pellet of the poison in Georgia's handbag. Jane would have gotten rid of her husband and Joe's wife in one stroke. You knew all that, didn't you?
Well, I... How about a bottle of beer, boss?
Could you spare the time?
Georgia. Beautiful redhead. Wonder where she is tonight.
I'm sure I haven't the slightest idea, but in case you do... Well, just be quiet with the elevator door when you come in.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story by Mindred Lord was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program, produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Harry Bartell as Archie Goodwin, and G.G. Pearson, Herb Butterfield, Peter Leeds, Evelyn Eaton, and Bill Johnstone. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
That's The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, February 16th, 1951, starring Sidney Greenstreet in The Case of the Party for Death is heard on NBC. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolfe.
Welcome back to the show. 12:07. Happy Monday morning. Thanks for staying up late with us. And we have the great Gildersleeve in this hour, Lisa. You ready for that?
Uh-huh.
You like Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve?
I love him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's gotten a little crazy here in the studio, but we're going to get back to classic radio. That's
okay.
What we do best.
All right. Well, I have to go see. I have to go see Moonlight.
Moonlighting.
I like the TV show with Bruce Willis, and who's the girl in that again? Oh gosh.
Oh, the blonde.
Yeah, she's great.
I can't remember her name now either.
Man.
Come on. Oh, Roger's not in
there. I can't remember.
We'll look
now.
It up.
Yeah, all right.
I can't remember either.
And then The Sealed Book a little later. So Gildersleeve and The Sealed Book, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars as Bruce Wayne and Batman in the upcoming superhero film Justice League, the fifth installment in the DC Extended Universe.
Wait a minute, I'm Batman.
Well, in your mind, you are.
Oh,
so
gosh.
That's pretty good, too.
All right.
And if you win, you get a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's.
312-981-7200 is our number. This actor was the star of The Town.
They don't have any suspects, any clues, any leads, anything like that.
That's it. That's all you get. But he's the new Batman. So if you know who that is, give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
We are back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We have more classic radio to play. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play that one more time.
They don't have any suspects, any clues, any leads, anything like that.
And we've got Marco on the line from Chicago. Hi, Marco.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine and dandy.
Good. So who's that actor?
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck is exactly right, and we are so happy to give you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. It's for $25. They are home of Chicago's very best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. You can order online at loumalnati's.com, and we hope you have a great pizza on WGN.
Great. Thank you very much.
Take
I really
care.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Marco.
I'm happy to say that his baby brother won the Academy.
What's that?
I'm happy to say that his younger brother won the Academy.
That's right, he did. Affleck won for Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
I was really happy. That was a little bit of an upset.
He's a great actor.
He's a great actor, and I kind of like the upset, you know?
Very cool.
Okay.
Thank you for mentioning.
All right, it's time for The Great Gildersleeve. This was a comedy that came to radio in 1941. It was a spinoff from Fibber McGee and Molly. And Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve was a character on Fibber McGee and Molly. It was so popular, and it starred Hal Perry as that character, that NBC said, you know what? Let's find it a sponsor. They did with Kraft Foods, and let's give him his own radio show. And he moved from Wistful Vista to Summerfield. He became the town water commissioner, and there you have it. He was raising his orphaned niece and nephew, Marjorie and Leroy, and he had a cook named Bertie. And it really was the first show, Lisa, of a single parent raising children. Very interesting. There was a lot of those after it, but it paved the way. It was the first one.
I'm sorry, I'm only laughing because you tease me for using the word interesting, and
that's your favorite
just
word.
Throwing it
interesting.
Back your way.
All right, let's go back to November 2nd, 1941, the first year that it was on the air, and this is called Babysitting. It stars Hal Perry, Part One of The Great Gildersleeve.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Each week at this time, Kraft presents from Hollywood, California, Harold Perry as the Great Gildersleeve, written by Leonard L. Levinson. And now let's visit our friend, the Great Gildersleeve.
Leroy?
Yes, Uncle Mort?
Come in here a minute, will you? I want to... Say, how did you get that scratch on your nose? And by George, your shirt's all torn, too. What's happened to you?
Well, I had a slight argument with a friend of mine.
A slight argument with a friend, eh? I'd hate to see you after a big fight with a stranger. Where did you two argue, inside a cement mixer?
Nope. All the way from our backyard to Georgie Beasley's front steps. It was a sort of a running argument.
Yes. Now, Leroy, I disapprove of you holding knuckle debates with your little chums.
But, gee, Uncle Mort, you should have heard what Georgie said.
No matter what he said, it wasn't the friendly thing to do.
Well, if you'd have heard, you'd understand why I had to bop him on the smeller.
You bop him on the smeller? Leroy, where do you pick up that kind of language?
From you. Remember Wednesday when you almost ran into that truck?
That truck almost ran into me, young man. And besides, I don't recall using those words.
It was just after the truck driver told you to go.
Leroy, never mind. Let's get back to you. Young man, you must realize that you can't keep friendships by indulging in pugilistic altercations.
What's that?
Poking people in the puss. Yeah.
Well, who wants to be friends with old Georgie Beasley anyhow?
Now, now, Leroy, friends are more precious than gold or diamonds. What would a man have if he didn't have any friends?
Gold or diamonds?
That's right. No! Leroy, I want you to go over to Georgie Beasley's house and apologize.
Well, not right now. His big brother is home.
Oh.
Besides, I'm not going to shake hands with him after what he said about you.
Come, come. Remember, sticks and stones may break. About me? What did he say?
Well, I don't like to repeat it.
But I want to know.
No, Uncle Mort, you'd only get angry. Yeah. And besides, your head isn't any fatter than anybody else's.
Oh, he called me a fathead, did he?
Yeah, how'd you find out?
Yeah. Wait till I tell his mother about this.
Oh, you won't have to do that, Uncle Mort. He was just repeating what she said.
Oh. Let's drop the subject, Leroy. Only remember one thing. Friends are wonderful things to have. Because when you're over your head in debt, a friend won't let you down. And when you're up to your ears in trouble, a friend won't let you down. And when you find out you're on a limb...
A friend won't let you down then, either.
Yes. Say, that reminds me... I've been meaning to look up an old friend from back home ever since I came to Summerfield.
Does he live here?
Yes, a fellow named Charlie Dapple. I'll get in touch with him right now. Hand me the phone book, will you, please?
Sure.
Thanks. Great chap, Charlie. I remember when I was first struggling to get into the girdle business. It was Charlie who helped me.
To get into girdles?
No, young man. Yes, yes, he owned Dapple's department store at the time. He snapped up the first 10 dozen I made. Yes, he had a stretcher point to do it, too.
Did that help you?
Yes, sir. It pulled me out of a mighty tight squeeze. Let me see. Daniels, Danner, Denty, here we are. Dapple, Charles, 147 Olive Street, Pimento, 4733. That'll be good to see good old Charlie Dapple again after all these years. Yeah.
Hello?
Hello? Could I speak to Charlie Dapple, please?
Well, he isn't home now. This is Mrs. Dapple.
Mrs. Dapple? Well, don't tell me that good old Charlie's married after all these years. Congratulations, Mrs. Dapple. You're a mighty lucky woman.
Thank you. That's what Charlie keeps saying. Who is this?
What was that?
Who is this?
Well, when did the big event take place?
3 years ago, Labor Day. Who is this?
Well, well, good old Charlie married on Labor Day. Say, I'll bet you're a redhead.
No, I'm a brunette. What made you think I was a redhead?
Well, you know how Charlie always went... No, I guess you don't.
Maybe not, but I will. Who is this?
Oh, it's an old friend from back home, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. Doesn't that name mean anything to you?
No.
Oh, but surely he's told you about the times we used to have together? Didn't he ever talk about Atlantic City?
No. What about Atlantic City?
Well, it's in New Jersey.
He'll be home any minute, and I'll ask him all about it.
Oh, no, no. Let's make it a surprise.
Make what a surprise?
Well, I'm going to drop over for a visit.
Oh, but really, Mr.
Now, come, come, Mrs. Dapple. I haven't seen your husband for 5 years. Let's see, you live at 147 Olive, eh?
Yes, it's an apartment house. The Venus de Milo Arms.
If. Well, I think I can find it. I'll drop in half an hour.
Oh, but I don't know if you should come today, Mr. Silvercoat.
Gildersleeve's the name. Yes. Now, don't fix anything special for me. Just think of me as one of the family. Goodbye. This is going to be fun surprising Charlie. He loves surprises. I'll never forget the night he sneaked a lot of his wax dummies into my office to scare me the next morning.
And did it?
It would have if our night watchman hadn't shot six of them. He claimed they pulled a knife on him.
Mr. Dapple sounds like a keen guy.
He is, Leroy. Good old Charlie. Come along and meet him.
Oh, but I wanted to go to a movie.
We can go afterwards. Come on, come on, come on.
Yes?
Mrs. Dapple?
Yes?
Well, well. Charlie certainly picked himself a lovely little bride.
What? Oh, you must be the man who phoned Mr. Gildersleeve.
Gildersleeve? By the way, is my old sidekick home yet?
Well, no, and I've been expecting him for an hour.
All right, Uncle, let's go to that movie.
Come back here, young man. Mrs. Dapple, this is my nephew, Leroy.
Oh, how do you do?
Well,
come right in.
Thank you.
Oh, now, don't look at this room. It's a mess.
Oh, no, it just has that lived-in look.
Well, Charlie should be home any minute now. Mm-hmm. On Saturday afternoons, he usually stops at several places on the way home. To get the football scores, you know.
Yes, I know how it is. No, not a baby. Mind if we look?
Oh, no.
Come on, Leroy, don't you want to see the baby?
No, I just want to see the movie.
Okay, young man, no baby, no movie.
Let's see the baby.
Yeah, that's better. Well, well, Mrs. Dapple, what a handsome, husky child. What's his name, Charlie?
No, Gertrude.
Oh, pardon me, Gertrude. Ooh, zitty-bitty babum zazoo.
Oh, dear, you frightened her.
Maybe it's your face, Uncle Mort.
Nonsense, Leroy, babies just love my face.
Now, Mother's little angel cake. Shush.
Shush. I know it'll quiet her, Mrs. Dapple. It's one trick that always works. I got it right here in my pocket.
Gee, Unc, are you carrying around a bottle of milk?
No. It's my watch, Leroy. Yeah. Now listen, little cupcake. You hear the tick-tick?
Oh, isn't that cute? She's holding it to her ear.
Yes. There's nothing like a piece of jewelry to stop a girl from crying.
Dear me, the phone again.
Phone?
Let go of the gentleman's watch, darling, so I can put you down. No, now, Mother's lamb, let go. Oh, dear, she won't let go. Well, you'll just have to hold him, Mr. Gildersleeve, while I take that call.
But it's been years since I held a baby that young.
Oh, now. Don't you be afraid.
Huh?
Once you've learned, you never forget. It's like swimming.
Swimming, I'll bet it is. Yeah. Oh.
Here. Hold Gertrude, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, all right. Take it easy, Gertrude. Well, jiggly, isn't she? Whoa, now.
I'll be back in just a minute.
You better come back now. She's getting restless. Now, see here, Gertrude. I was just kidding. Relax. Kitchy, kitchy, coo. Kitchy, kitchy, coo.
Gee, Uncle Mort, I never knew you could take care of babies.
I can't. Leroy, would you like to hold little Gertie a while?
Not me. Come on, let's ditch her and go see Hopalong Cassidy.
Yep, wait a minute. I can't get my watch and chain away from her. And now, Gertrude, you've had your little fun, so let loose.
No use trying to force her, Unc.
Huh?
She'll get tired of it pretty soon and just drop the whole thing.
That's what I'm afraid of.
I see. If she drops the watch, you get the works.
Leroy, don't poke fun. Now, Gertie, let go of Uncle Throckmorton's 21-jewel nasty gold watch. That's a good girl. You see, Leroy, I got it back. Oh, now she's got a hold of my hair. Let go, Mother's little devil's food cake.
Say, she certainly is a cute kid.
Leroy, don't stand there. Do something.
Well, if I could find a pair of scissors, I could cut off that hunk of hair she's holding.
No! Ouch! Gertrude, unhand my hair.
Hey, Ray. She likes you.
Yeah, she's practically drooling over me.
Well, really, Mr. Gildersleeve, what are you doing to that baby?
Madam, you better ask the baby what she's doing to me.
Oh, now, let go of the man's hair, darling. There.
Thanks. Oh, my scalp. Feels like I just lost a decision to Sitting Bull.
Now you just lie in your blanket like a good little girl while Mama runs down to the gas company.
Yes. Now?
Yes, or else I don't know what we'll ever do over the weekend. Charlie was supposed to attend to it.
But you're not going to leave us alone here with Gertrude.
Oh, she won't give you any trouble, will you, sweetheart? See?
Yes.
Well, Charlie will probably be here before I return. Oh, and in case he isn't, just heat the baby's bottle in 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Take the roast out of the oven in a quarter of an hour. Yeah,
take the roast.
Then light a fire under the soup.
Fire the soup?
And if a COD package comes, it's all right to pay for it.
But I...
And if it gets any cooler, phone down to the janitor for more heat. Huh? Goodbye.
Light a fire under the janitor. Put the COD in the oven. Phone down for the baby's bottle. Oh, my...
All right, that's the first portion of The Great Gildersleeve, November 2nd, 1941, with Babysitting starring Hal Perry. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Are you Lisa Wolf or am I Lisa Wolf?
You know what? I don't know where you end and I begin, Carl.
I think you may be Lisa Amari.
That's weird.
And I'm
Carl
Wolf.
That's,
I think,
interesting.
That's what it is.
I've never put that together.
And I think that's what it is.
All right, let's
Lisa
do it.
Mari.
Lisa Amari.
Lisa Amari.
Yeah, you can just Lisa Amari.
Lisa Amari.
Lisa Amari.
Yeah.
Sounds like Valari.
Yeah. Good one. Yeah.
So you know what? This is what we do each week. We play classic radio shows for you. We try to stick to the script. But every once in a while, we go off on a tangent, like we did a little earlier. But we'll stick to the classic radio.
Yeah, we're
going
to get back to classic
radio. We'll stick to the classic radio for a while. And speaking of classic radio, we have a website that we've set up for all of our listeners. And this website is pretty cool because if you go there and put your name and your email address, you'll get an email that'll say confirm. Then when you confirm, you're all signed up, and what happens is every Monday you will get an email from me, which means 52 emails a year, and in each email there's an embedded classic radio show in that email. It's a half-hour show, digitally remastered. One week it might be Our Miss Brooks. Next week it might be The Shadow. Next week is Gunsmoke. It's kind of nice because, you know, it's sort of like a surprise.
It's like a box, right? Of chocolates.
Yeah, you never know what you're going.
Exactly.
You never know what you're going to get.
See, I set that up for
you.
Yeah,
thanks.
It's a lot of fun. I look forward to the email. Normally, I hate getting emails from you, but when it's the free classic
radios,
yeah,
I would hate getting emails from me too.
Then I get excited. Now, last week was Our Miss Brooks, and I loved it. And I don't know what today will be, but I look forward to the surprise.
I don't know what it is either. I do them way in advance. And here's the other thing. In the email, there's a picture of who the star is of the radio show.
I was really happy to get Lucille Ball for my favorite husband.
That's a great picture.
It was a great picture.
Because that's a picture of her actually doing,
I know,
the My Favorite Husband.
Exactly.
And that's what we try to do. So, like, if you get an Our Miss Brooks email, there'll be a picture of her actually performing Our Miss Brooks in front of the CBS microphone with her script and all that.
Yeah.
We try to do that whenever possible. But it's a pretty cool thing because
and there's great information.
And it's free.
There's a synopsis of the show and there's the original date and the original commercials. And it's really great. So we hope you guys will sign up to freeradioclassics.com.
Right. It's just that. It's free and it's Radio Classics. So go to Free Radio Classics. There's an S on the end there. Free Radio Classics. .com. Put your name and your email address, and you'll get it. Now, in the email, there's also specials to digitally download other classic radio shows. There's chock full of information in the email as well. It's our way of thanking you for being a listener to this radio show. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Let's get back now to Babysitting on the Great Gildersleeve.
Supposed to fold it the other way.
Leroy, I know which way it folds. After all, I used to be a baby myself. Yeah, now don't get fidgety, Gertie. Remember, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Careful with that safety pin, Uncle Mort.
Oh, my. Why don't these things come with zippers? Yes, yes, Mother's little leg of lamb.
You better hurry up, Uncle Mort. Gertrude's getting restless. And cold, too.
Well, it's her own fault. She keeps kicking it off.
Well, if you can't pin it, why don't you just leave it off altogether?
No, Leroy. We've got to pin Gertrude down some way with this blanket. Ah. There we are. I wonder what makes her do that.
Maybe she's just bored with everything. When she isn't yelling, she's yawning.
Well, that's because she should be sleeping, Leroy. Possibly if I told her some little anecdote, that might put her to sleep. It always works at the Rotary Club.
Why don't you just try singing her to sleep?
That's a fine idea. Friends have told me my voice reminds them of a meadowlark singing bass.
Okay, Unc, make with the lullabies.
All right. What would you think of Asleep in the Deep? You know, many brave hearts are asleep in the deep. Too deep. How about Rockabye Baby?
That's it. Go ahead, Uncle Mort.
All right, let me see. I think it goes, Rockabye Baby in the treetop. Yes. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. I can't remember how the rest goes.
Down will come, baby, cradle and all.
Yeah, that's it. Rockabye Gertrude on the treetop.
She's going to sleep, so you better not stop.
When the bough breaks, the cradle goes lower.
You're doing swell, Unc. Sing it once more.
Rockabye, baby, let's go, Leroy. She's closing her eyes, so let's tiptoe into the other room, my boy.
Let's wait here till both eyes she shuts. Look out for that pen!
Oh, nuts! Rockabye, baby. Oh, what's the use? I have been singing till my tonsils are loose.
You better give up, Unc. Whatever it is that kid wants, it ain't a meadowlark that sings bass.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right, Leroy.
Gee, if this takes much longer, we won't see those two pictures before dinner.
Leroy, if this takes much longer, we won't even see dinner. I better call home and tell your sister we'll be late. Hand me that telephone. Yeah, my dear. Be playing nursemaid to a baby. Fine thing.
Hello?
Oh, hello, Marjorie. Looks like Leroy and I'll be a little late for dinner tonight, my dear. We stopped in to see an old friend.
Who's that? Your old friend?
No, it's Gertrude. She's just a baby. Yes. Leroy and I are taking care of her for Mrs. Dapple. She's out taking care of the gas. Yes, and we're even taking care of the cooking.
Oh, you, Uncle Mort, taking care of the cooking?
Yes. I was supposed to take the roast out of the oven and put the soup on the fire. But I had to put the soup in the oven because the roast was on fire.
Oh, poor Uncle Mort.
Yeah.
Have you been having much trouble with the baby?
Well, I've been singing Rockabye Baby to her, but something tells me she'd prefer there'll be some changes made.
I think I'd better come over and help you.
That's a marvelous idea. And bring Bertie, Marjorie. And maybe she can patch up the dinner I've ruined.
All right. Oh, I think I know what's wrong with that baby. It's probably hungry.
Yeah, hungry? Say, I never thought of that. Let me have a look. Oh, my goodness. That's what it must be. Marjorie, hurry over quickly.
What's wrong?
Gertrude's so hungry, she's trying to swallow her foot.
Miss, have you got that all straight now?
I think so, Mrs. Dapple. We're to shut off the gas at 147 Olive this afternoon and turn it on at 3214 Winslow. Is that right?
Correct. We're moving away from the Olive Street apartment tonight, and I don't want any slip-up.
Oh, there won't be.
Oh, now, can I change my light and water here, too?
No, the light and water company's down at 10th and Spring Street.
Oh, dear. Well, that'll take me an hour. I left someone with my baby, and I promised to be right back. Oh, well, they'll just have to wait.
Really, Marjorie, the way you've handled that baby is a revelation to me.
Yeah, you're certainly tidy with a dighty.
Yeah. Where did you ever learn all that, my dear?
Oh, I took child psychology in school.
Yes, but Gertrude didn't. How did you ever two get together?
Oh, it was easy. In dealing with hysteria and psychoneurosis in the field of speculative philosophy relating to the young, the prime factor was a thorough understanding of the mental and nervous processes of the infant mind. Simple, isn't it?
Either it is or I am. Say, Leroy, how's Bertie doing?
Well, Bertie, how's everything?
I'm doing as well as I can, considering.
Considering what, Bertie?
The cupboards.
Why, what's wrong with the cupboards here, Bertie?
Well, from the looks of them, these folks seems to have a mighty fine assortment of nothing.
Nothing? What do you mean? Make yourself plain.
Okay, I'll speak plain, but it's gonna sound ugly. These folks have got just about enough food in their kitchen for one meal.
Do you mean that Mrs. Dapple's cupboard is empty?
Man, that cupboard couldn't be any better than if that lady's name was Hubbard.
Oh. Well, this is terrible. I never dreamed for a moment they were destitute.
Well, what are we going to do, Uncle Moore?
But don't worry. I'll fix things up, Marjorie. Bertie, take this $10 bill down to the nearest store and buy a lot of groceries.
Yes, sir. Better make out a list.
Yes.
Some canned goods.
Oh, Uncle Moore. That's terribly sweet of you.
And some sugar.
Oh, it's nothing, my dear. I get a lump in my throat.
Lump sugar?
And a sinking feeling in my heart.
Baking soda?
When I think of what's ahead.
A head of cabbage?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. It brings the tears to my eyes.
And onions?
I suppose they just gradually got into debt and couldn't...
Catch up.
That's it. They couldn't catch up. Bertie, are you still here? You better get going. Take Leroy along to help you carry the bundle.
Okay, Uncle Moore.
Hurry out the back way. I'll bet that's my old pal now. And will I clap hands if here comes Charlie.
Now, see here, Dapple. We've exhausted our patience with you. Why do you ignore our letters? Why do you hang up when we telephone? Why don't you be a man and make your payments on that piano like you promised?
No, see here, mister. I'm not Dapple. But by George, if I was and you used that tone, I'd cuff you around till you'd crawl back into the woodwork.
Oh, yeah? Well, if you're not Dapple, what do you care how I talk to him, you big blimp?
Oop! He's my friend, and you can't abuse an absent friend in my presence. Especially if he isn't here.
Uncle Moore, not so loud.
Huh? Oh, that's right. Not so loud, mister. If you want to fight, just step inside.
Okay. But this time when I leave, I'm taking that piano with me.
Over my dead body.
That makes it even more attractive.
Oh. One more crack like that, and I'll shove that swollen zither down your noisy throat. Now you take your hat off and state your business before I forget my manners. And bop you on the smeller.
Now, take it easy, Tubbsy.
Whoop!
My name is Baxter of the Summerfield Washing Machine and Piano Company. Now, this fellow Dapple has been buying this piano from us on the installment plan, only he ain't kept up his payments.
Well, I happen to know that Mr. Dapple has been up against it pretty badly lately. Couldn't you just kind of forget the payments this month?
Forget it? How can I? I've got a memory like an elephant.
Yeah, and a hide like one, too. All right, then. How much is the payment? I'll give it to you myself.
Oh, no, you won't. According to our contract, once a payment is defaulted, the entire remaining balance becomes automatically due.
Oh, my goodness. How much does he still owe on it?
Now, let's see. I've got it right here. It's
$74. $74 more? Why, that mahogany monstrosity over there was never worth that in the first place.
Either I get the money or else a piano.
Yes, I think you mean it. Well, Charlie Dapple helped me up when I was getting started, so I can't let him down when he's just about finished. I'll write you a check for the $74. Let's see. That'll leave me with a balance of 28 cents. Yeah, now there's somebody at the back door. I better go see. I'm coming, you blasted woodpecker.
Excuse me, I'm the gas man.
Don't want any. I got enough gas.
I come to shut it off.
Shut it off? Didn't Mrs. Dapple call at your office this afternoon, probably to pay the bill?
Look, brother, I'm a guy who sticks strictly to his own job.
Yeah.
I got an order saying turn off gas at Dapple Apartment, 147 Olive Street. And that's what I'm going to do, brother.
Yeah. Well, let's not be too hasty about this, brother. Suppose I pay the bill to you right now.
No, I ain't allowed to take no money. You don't understand, brother. I'm just the guy who gets orders to turn gas on or to turn it off.
Yeah.
Then I go where it says and I turn gas on or else I turn it off. That's all I do.
Oh, sounds mighty monotonous.
I like being monotonous.
Yes. Look here, brother. By the way, what's your name?
Hyman Peebles.
Herman Peebles. Look here, Herbie. Peebles live here, too. Simple Peebles. Kindly Peebles. The salt of the earth. Things have been a little tough for him lately. And there's another mouth to feed, too.
You mean...
Yes, that's what I mean. A tiny baby named Little Gertrude. Yeah, think what it would mean to poor Little Gertrude if she didn't have any gas. No hot milk. No hot water. No hot air.
It's tough.
Yes. Winter is approaching too, Hermie. Need I say more?
No. Don't worry, mister. I'm not going to shut off the gas here today.
You're not?
No, I just can't.
Well, I'm certainly glad I convinced you.
Wasn't you, mister. Just remembered I left my tools at the office.
Movie.
Just as soon as a dapple shows its nose through that door.
I done cooked this rib roast so long it's done shrunk down to the size of a lamb chop.
Yeah. Well, personally, I wouldn't mind staying all evening, only I've got a previous engagement.
It's them. I'll get the door.
We come for the furniture.
To take it away.
This is the last straw.
Don't let them do this to little Gertrude, Unc.
You're right, Leroy. You men can't do this to a poor little helpless baby.
We ain't doing nothing to no baby. Take the other end of this sofa, Terry.
I got it. Now, get out of the way, mister.
By George, you're not going to get away with this.
Uncle, put down that vase.
I was just trying to help the men out there.
Don't do us no favors. We'll help ourselves out. Careful coming out that door, Terry.
Okay.
Quick, Leroy, lock the door. Now we've got to figure out some way to prevent him from stripping the apartment.
Mr. Gildersleeve, huh? A lady just come in the back way and says she's Miss Dapple. Here she comes now.
Oh, at last.
Oh, thank you ever so much, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yes. That's all right. Where's Charlie?
Well, I can't imagine. Unless he's... Oh, of course. Huh? This was his Saturday to work late at the office. But he'll be here any minute now. That is, if he comes straight home.
He better come straight home. There are a couple of men roaming around trying to repossess your furniture.
Repossess our furniture? Well, I can't imagine... Oh, well, you must mean the moving men.
Yeah, they're moving men. They're trying to move everything you got right out of here.
Well, of course, we're moving over to Winslow Avenue today.
Oh, my goodness, how can Charlie do this to me? And what about the piano? The collector tried to take it away, but I stopped him.
Well, you should have let him have it.
Huh?
We just played it to break our lease here.
Your lease in my pocketbook, madam.
Well, we better hurry up and get ready to leave. Oh, did the men come to turn off the gas?
Yeah, and you should have seen them turn on the tears.
Yeah.
Oh, there's my husband now.
Yeah?
There's something about the way he knocks that I can always recognize.
Oh, at last. Hey, Mrs. Dapple, I've been waiting for this moment all afternoon. Do you mind if I hide in the dining room and then when good old Charlie comes in, I'll jump out and yell surprise? Please, that's all I have left.
Well, that'll be cute. All right, go right ahead.
Leroy, Marjorie, Bertie, I want you to get in on this.
All right.
Come on, let's hide.
Hello, Charlie, darling.
How are you, sweetheart? What's the idea of keeping the door locked?
Well, I don't know. In fact, I don't know half of what's been going on around here. Oh, but come into the living room, dear. There's a little surprise for you.
Surprise? What do you mean? Where's the surprise?
Oh, boy! Surprise, Charlie! Surprise! Yeah, where's Charlie?
I'm Charlie. Who in thunder are you?
Oh, my goodness.
Gee, Unc, what's the matter?
It's that man. I never saw him before. He's the wrong Charlie Dapple. Just a second till I find my key, children.
Oh, I'm tired.
Yes.
Hey, somebody put a note under the door. It's for you, Uncle Moore.
Well, a note, eh? I wonder who it's from. Dear pal Throcky, George Fitty just told me you were in town, so I dropped over to see you. Sorry I missed you. Your old pal and sidekick, Charlie Dapple. Good night.
Original music heard on this program was composed and conducted by William Randolph. This is Jim Bannon speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to be with us again next week at this same time for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Now, All right. That is The Great Gildersleeve, a broadcast from November 2nd, 1941. Babysitting, starring Hal Perry. Also in the cast, Lillian Randolph as Bertie. Lorene Tuttle as Marjorie. We had Walter Tetley as Leroy. And it's heard on NBC, sponsored by Kraft. And Walter Tetley, Lisa, he did a lot of cartoon voices when, you know, in early television of the cartoons. And he was Sherman on the Mr. Peabody cartoons. Remember those? The dog and the boy? He was the voice of the boy, Sherman. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you very much, Bill Curtis. It is 1:05 in the morning, and it's our latest hour here. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. We've been on since 11. We're here every single Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning. And in those 6 hours, we play 6 classic radio shows. And we really do appreciate you joining us, staying up late, and listening to our weekend radio show. Lisa Wolf and I have been doing this for, what, 2 years? Close to 2 years.
Yeah, on April WGN. 9th is our 2-year anniversary.
And when did Aleph start producing our show? About when?
Last May.
God, it seems a lot longer, doesn't it?
How time flies
you're so
when you're
sick
having
of me.
Fun.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like a lot longer than that?
Well, we had Dan, and then we had Shane.
Yeah. But,
Oh, maybe, well, I don't know.
Yeah, Dan was our producer for the beginning, from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, no, I'm just kidding. You know that, you know, I think you're a phenomenal producer.
Phenomenal.
She is. She really is a great producer.
Thank you.
You don't
That's
have
nice.
To explain it to me. I know
you
her.
Really are. Yeah,
thank you.
She's fantastic.
Thank you. You're a fabulous host.
Oh,
fabulous.
Yeah, fabulous.
Absolutely
it's the
fabulous.
Mutual
I think we're having a little love fest society. Here, but that's okay. That's good.
And
we love
Lisa,
each other. You got to put up with her. You know what can you do?
Who could put up with me though? You know, Lisa
right.
can. And I
there's not a lot of people who have been able to do that.
That's because you know what? You know me off air. See, this is the problem.
It's
this is
true.
Not the problem, but this is the thing. Lisa and I know each other so well. We're best friends. And we
Lisa, would you attest to that?
Oh, for certain.
Nah, we're the
no, no, really.
We're best friends. We really are.
That's why we can do this. And
yeah,
that's why
we
kid can,
around.
You know.
She can say,
kidding.
She can talk about how short I am and that I need to wear platform shoes. And that's hilarious. I mean, it's hilarious. And I doesn't
we know
doesn't
each
bother
other's,
me.
Not only shortcomings, but our tender points, I'll say.
Oh, yeah. Like our, yeah.
We know
where
how to jib jab.
Yeah, when she talks about my height, that she knows that gets
I've got
me.
Plenty of other things I could jab at you.
But, you know, this is the truth. I've known Lisa how many years? I met you.
2008.
Yeah, so we're talking about.
A long time.
10 years almost, right?
Almost.
And in 10 years, Elif, we have never really ever had an argument. I don't think we've ever had an argument.
We've had a couple of little tips. Maybe
a little bit like discord. Which didn't keep us from talking to each other or anything.
No.
But
that's
we've
what you,
never
that's what you have to
had
do.
An argument.
No.
You and I. We've never, ever.
And it's
been.
Not because we always agree, but we respect each
oh,
other.
Oh, no, we don't agree on a lot of stuff.
Let's just be clear.
Just bicker.
We're
the Bickersons.
We're like the Bickersons.
We're a lot alike and very different in other ways. You know, there's a lot.
We're alike more than we're different, though.
We're alike more than different. We do see things the same way a lot of times.
We do.
But then I'm shocked, or not shocked, but I'm like, it's interesting to me that some of the things when we talk about, you have like a view that is completely different than mine. And so when because we're so similar, it's a little bit shocking to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It opens up
Keeps
your
it
eyes
interesting.
Sometimes.
Keeps
interesting.
It interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You like that word.
And Lisa is an amazing mom. She has 4 kids. She's an incredible wife to Dan. She's just a wonderful person.
Yeah, well, that's why we get along well.
And
I
like to kid with you on the air a little bit.
I like to kid you back.
You know, and you're a great host. And Lisa, you know what? And to her, a testament to her, she knew nothing about classic radio. When I asked her to be the co-host of our other show. And then
that was in 2009.
Yeah. She had never heard a classic radio show.
Well,
I don't think that's true.
I heard of classic radio. I just couldn't call myself well-versed in any way.
So here she jumped in. Really into a pool of with sharks. I mean,
well,
you didn't know what this was.
No, but you did buy me that large book.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? I still have it. Like the encyclopedia of classic radio.
Right, read this book.
And I did spend quite a bit of time flipping through and learning about, you know, what I needed to learn about to be intelligent.
But I give you a lot of credit for that because you didn't know anything about these radio shows.
Not much,
You knew that the radio dramas, but you'd never really listened to any. First time you started listening was when you were hosting the show.
No, I heard of My Favorite Husband.
Oh, wait. Okay, one show.
Right. I went, oh, my gosh, what is this?
Yeah.
And
so,
I was like, wow, that's really interesting.
It's interesting. It really is. Okay, so
thank you.
Great job.
You too.
And all right, in this hour, The Sealed Book, A Good Mystery. And it's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor and singer stars in the upcoming fantasy Jumanji 2, a continuation of the 1995 film, which will pay tribute to the late Robin Williams.
Okay, what do they win?
They will win a Twilight Zone 4 CD set hosted by Stacey Keach.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. He's one of the Jonas Brothers and one of the stars of Careful What You Wish For.
She said it herself. She stole my youth. But I can't pretend I didn't have a choice.
All right. Who is that actor-singer? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
And this is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip again. Oh, Elif was dancing. She got a little distracted.
It's the
she
button on the left.
She stole my youth. But I can't pretend I didn't have a choice.
Now hit the button on the right.
Okay, there's only two buttons there, so it shouldn't be that difficult, right? We have Dan on the line. Did you hit the right button there? Hey, Dan.
I hear you. Yeah, I guess.
How's it going?
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, how are you guys?
So you're calling from Fitchburg, Wisconsin, huh?
Yep, that's right. It's really Madison.
Close by. Well, we're glad you called in, and we're hoping you can tell us who this actor-singer is.
Nick Jonas.
Nick Jonas is absolutely right, and you are a winner, and we're so happy to give you the Twilight Zone 4 CD set. Carl Amari is the producer of this wonderful set. Stacey Keach is the host, and they are terrific, so we hope you enjoy those.
I used to listen to them, so I'm really glad.
Oh, great.
Dan. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. Yeah. Enjoy.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Take care.
Thanks. Appreciate you. All right. It's time for The Sealed Book. This was a mystery and terror series. It just aired one season in 1945. It was produced and directed by Jock McGregor, the same guy who produced and directed the Nick Carter Master Detective series. It ran on Mutual. Philip Clark was the mysterious silent keeper of the book in which recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. The scripts were by Robert A. Arthur and David Kogan. They were the same writers who wrote Mysterious Traveler and The Strange Dr. Weird. So let's tune this in. A broadcast from July 29th, 1945. It's called Beware of Tomorrow. Here is The Sealed Book.
The Sealed Book. Once again, the keeper of the book has opened the ponderous door to the secret vault, wherein is kept the great sealed book, in which is recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. Here are tales of every kind, tales of murder, of madness, of dark deeds, strange and terrible beyond all belief. Keeper of the book, I would know what tale we tell this time. Open the great book and let us read. Slowly the great book opens. One by one, the keeper of the book turns the pages and stops. Ah, the strange story of a scientist who delved into the unknown with frightening results. A tale titled, Beware of Tomorrow. Here is the tale, Beware of Tomorrow, as it is written in the pages of the sealed book. Our story begins as Sheriff Ramsey brings his car to a stop in front of an old mansion in a desolate section of New England. A young man gets out of the car and speaks to the sheriff.
Thanks very much, Sheriff, for bringing me out here.
That's quite all right, young fella. Do you know Professor Clark, the man that lives in this old mansion?
Why, yes. I was Professor Clark's laboratory assistant back in college. Why?
Well, there's been some talk in town of running him and that man of his, that Barton fella, right out of the county.
But what has anybody got against the professor? Well, there isn't a milder man in the world.
Well, maybe so. But folks has got wind of what happened at the state penitentiary over in Hillvale last year.
Sure, if you're talking in riddles. What did happen?
The professor went over there when they hanged Richards, that holdup killer. And the warden gave the professor the murderer's brain.
So what?
Folks think he's keeping that brain in a big glass jar and making it grow.
Oh, that's perfectly ridiculous.
Well, I'm not saying I ever believed it, but it'd be a good idea if the professor give folks a notion of what he's really doing in that laboratory of his with that Barton fellow to help him. Then maybe the talk would die down.
I understand. All right, Sheriff, I'll mention it to him.
Well, then I'll be getting on. Good night, young fella.
Good night.
A few moments after Dr. Richard Dale had knocked on the door of the ancient mansion, a frail, white-haired old man answered the door. An old man who could hardly speak in his joy as he gripped Richard Dale's hand. He led the way down a long hall to a great room where strange equipment took up almost every inch of space. Retorts and electric furnaces, generators, batteries, great glass vats. Dr. Dale stared around him in intense curiosity as Professor Clark helped him off with his hat and coat.
There. Now sit down, Dick. Sit down and let me get a look at you.
I got your letter, and it made me so curious, I took the first train. You promised me a surprise. Is this it, this amazing laboratory?
No, my boy. We'll come to that in a moment, after you've met Barton, my assistant. Oh, Barton!
Yes, Professor?
Dr. Dale has arrived. I want you to meet him.
Why, of course. How do you do, Dr. Dale?
How do you do?
We've both of us been looking forward to your visit.
Yes, the professor's letter made me so curious I couldn't stay away.
Barton, is Alpha making some coffee?
Yes, he started it when we heard the car.
Alpha? Who's he?
Our general man of all work.
Truly amazing fellow. Here he comes now.
What in the world?
Shall Alpha serve coffee?
Good heavens. I said you'd be surprised, Dick.
He's not human. He's a machine, a robot.
Yes, my boy. An artificial man made from metal and synthetic brain tissue.
A machine man. But walking and then talking.
He's not very pretty, but then the professor was mostly interested in making sure he'd work.
Well, he must weigh a ton.
No, only about 300 pounds. You see, Alpha is mostly aluminum and other light alloys. Inside his aluminum plates are some new batteries I've devised, together with miles of fine silver wire and a dozen electric motors, to give you only the highlights.
Shall Alpha serve coffee now?
Yes, Alpha. Put it on this table here and pour a cup for Dr. Dale.
Alpha, do so.
I still can't make myself believe it.
Alpha poured coffee.
Go on, Dick. Take it.
Yes, of course. Thank you. He looks clumsy, but he poured the coffee as well as a man could.
Yes, my boy. Alpha has capabilities you'd never suspect to look at him. We won't need you any more tonight, Alpha.
You can go back to your room now.
Alpha goes.
Be sure to switch off your batteries. They're going to need recharging tomorrow.
Alpha understands.
That's the most incredible thing I ever saw.
You see, Dick, like any machine, he's completely inactive when his batteries have been switched off, but his brain continues to function. It's an artificial protoplasm that I spent 8 years creating. It's the only thing that makes him different from any other machine.
But it means that Alpha can think. Think like a man.
A machine that can walk and talk and think. But Alpha isn't the only surprise I have for you, Dick.
He's not?
No, I have another one, even more astonishing. But you'll have to wait until morning to learn what that is. Barton will show you to your room, Dick.
Of course, Professor. I'll see you in the morning, then.
Yes. We'll have a long talk tomorrow. Good night.
Good night, Professor Clark.
Oh, Dr. Dale.
Yes, Barton?
Could we talk for a minute before I show you to your room?
Why, yes, of course.
It occurs to me that the professor forgot to tell you why he asked you here. It was his hope that you'd stay indefinitely and help us carry forward the work we've been doing here.
Stay indefinitely? Why? Oh, I have my own work.
Now, don't say no yet. Just think, Dr. Dale. Alpha is stronger and more rugged than a man. He needs no rest, no food. Yet he can do the work of three men. He can plow, reap, run machinery. Think how much drudgery a million like him could lift from mankind's shoulders.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
And already Alpha is technically old-fashioned. Professor Clark has blueprints for a new machine man, as superior to Alpha as an aeroplane is to a bicycle. We want you to help us build them.
Well, I'm certainly tempted to stay. Perhaps I could arrange it.
Good. Then I'll show you to your room now, if you wish.
Yes, I am sleepy.
If you will just come this way.
His mind in a whirl of amazement, Dr. Dale retired and finally fell into an uneasy sleep. How long he had slept, he did not know, when abruptly he woke with a scream ringing in his ears. The cry came from downstairs. Dr. Dale leaped from his bed and raced down to the lower hall. In the lower hall, he found Barton hammering on the heavy door of the laboratory.
Professor Clark! Professor Clark, what's wrong?
Barton, what's happened?
Professor Clark, I heard him call for help. The door is locked.
We've got to break it down.
Yes, come, put your shoulder beside mine.
Right.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Then shove. Oh, once again. All right, once more. Professor Clark, where are you?
Professor Clark, he's not here.
Yes, he's here, lying on the floor beside the window. He's been murdered.
It was Alpha. It must have been. No one else could have done it.
Where is Alpha?
The window, it's open. He went out that way.
We've got to go after him.
I'm afraid it's hopeless. At night, in these woods, we couldn't possibly find him.
No. No, you're right, of course.
It'll be morning soon. Then I think he'll come back. He knows that he can only go for a few more hours before his batteries must be recharged.
But, Barton, why did he kill the man who created him?
The professor has been thinking of destroying Alpha, because he's now technically out of date. Perhaps that's the reason Alpha killed him.
Poor Professor Clark. We'll have to notify the police.
That is only the sheriff. In any case, I think we should wait until morning and then report the professor's death as an accident.
An accident?
Yes. If the authorities learn the truth, our research may be stopped. And when Professor Clark has achieved so much, can we let it go for nothing?
Why, no, of course not.
Dr. Hale, we must carry on his work for him.
Yes, that's what he would want.
Then you will help me to continue it? You'll stay?
Yes. Yes, I'll stay.
That's the first portion of The Sealed Book with Beware of Tomorrow from 1945, starring Philip Clark. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN. No break. Well, she said there's no break. We don't have any commercials? No break. All right. We can talk all the way till the bottom of the hour here. When news comes on, and then after news, we have more of the sealed book. Well, we could talk about what's coming up next week, Lisa. Do you have your sheet of paper?
I sure do, Carl.
All right. So next week, when we come back here on the legendary Radio 720 WGN, on Saturday, what are we playing?
Saturday, we have Suspense, Our Miss Brooks, and Sherlock Holmes.
All right. And what about Sunday night?
Sunday, we have Fibber McGee and Molly, Inner Sanctum Mysteries, and Dangerous Assignment.
That's right. And all of these shows, in fact, I think we put up the schedule for all of March and all of April.
Yes.
Yeah. You were working hard on that.
I know.
Lisa?
But you can go to the website, which is WGN Radio Theater.
Yeah.
Schedule's
there.
Schedule's there.
That's a lot of work.
And we also posted a Facebook Live video.
We did.
Where we are doing our promo for the week, which will hopefully air on WGN at some point during
the week. That's the optimal word.
Hopefully. And LF did a little Facebook Live there. So we had a little bit of fun trying to get the promo together.
And folks, could you do us a huge favor? Could you like our Facebook page?
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to build our likes. We're at just a little over 2,000,
mm-hmm,
I think.
Right.
We would like a lot more than that. We have tens of thousands of listeners, I think into the hundreds of thousands of listeners, and only 2,000 have ever liked our Facebook page.
Like us. They just haven't liked our Facebook.
Yeah, come on. Like our Facebook page.
That's what we're hoping.
That would be really nice. And don't forget to send in a picture of your kitty cat to us here at catspridephoto@gmail.com. Cats Pride is our main sponsor of this show. They are very loyal to us, and we hope you can be loyal to them as our listeners. And one of the things they do every month, which is super generous, is give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter to someone in our listening audience. So the only way that it can be you is if you send in a picture of your kitty cat and send that to us here at catspridephoto@gmail.com. Right?
Right.
And you need to do what? Name and address?
Your name, your cat's name, your city and state.
Oh, yeah.
Send in a picture, and we will be doing the drawing this Sunday, 6 days
from
today.
A week from today, right?
Right.
Yeah,
it's kind of like
cool.
Monday already.
Yeah.
And one more thing I just want to mention. If you do go to our Facebook page, we would love to have you post or make comments and let us know what you're thinking about the show. If you have any comments, suggestions, we always really like to hear from you and like to communicate with all of our listeners.
The Facebook page is the perfect place to do that, mm-hmm, because we both look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do actually look at it. I just don't know how to post to it or anything like that. I don't. One of these days I'm going to learn.
I'll teach you anytime
you're
ready.
You can teach me?
I think so. I taught my dad.
Really?
He's on Facebook.
Oh, that's great.
Every time I'm with him, he has another question.
My mom is 88 years old, and she's on it. She can do it.
Yeah.
So she's smarter than
I am. My dad's 81, and he's on Facebook.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Wow, that's great.
He loves it.
I don't know
if he really loves it, but he tries.
No, that's cool.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
You're Lisa Amari.
Lisa Amari.
And I'm Carl Wolf.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's got a good ring to
it. Actually, Carl Wolf is a good name. I like that.
Well, Dick Wolf.
Dick Wolf. He's a big producer.
He
produces all the
Chicago
Fire and PD and Med and all that.
I met him once.
Yeah. Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are
you related to him at all?
I know. That would have been good, though.
Yeah, that would have been.
Anything would help me.
Yeah, that would be good. Well, you know what?
Did he produce ER, too?
I have no idea.
I don't remember.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Chicago Fire, Med, they're doing well. Look at that. They keep expanding. Now there's
Chicago APB.
Well, there's another thing, too.
Chicago Justice.
Yeah. Pretty soon there'll be Chicago, accounting firm.
Chicago Education.
Chicago Accounting, or something. There'll be
CPS.
Yeah. But the shows are really good. I mean, I don't watch all of them, but
Chicago has some of the finest actors anywhere.
Oh,
so if
no
you're going to go somewhere
no
and get some great actors, they're in the right city.
Well, that's where you are. You're an actress.
Yeah, well,
Lisa,
I'm not on Chicago
Lisa's
Fire.
On, I'll turn TV on and I see you on different,
Yeah, I'm like pushing a vacuum.
Well, you're a nurse in one of them. And
yeah, I'm a nurse.
You're
a
doing
lot.
One of those computer alert things for the kids in the car or something like that. You're a pretty busy actress.
I was a nurse many, many times on ER, but I don't do that anymore.
So what now? Lisa?
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyhow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's all good.
All right. Well, yeah. you do a good job
with
that.
Yeah. Well, we all keep busy. You know.
Yeah. One time I remember you were like in the background and there was a guy putting shoes on or something and you have like overalls on. I think that was you.
I was wearing overalls?
Yeah.
What was I doing?
I don't remember, but I've seen a lot of your commercials.
Sounds very attractive.
All right. We're listening to The Sealed Book. Let's go back to July 29th, 1945 for Beware of Tomorrow. Here's The Sealed Book.
And now to continue the story, Beware of Tomorrow, as it is written in The Sealed Book. Greatly upset by Professor Clark's tragic death, Dr. Dale returned to bed and at last fell again into an uneasy sleep, a sleep in which he was haunted by dreams of Alpha, the metal monster Professor Clark had created. When he awoke, the sun was shining and he could hear Barton moving about downstairs. He dressed and went down to find Barton getting breakfast ready.
Ah, good morning, Dr. Dale.
Good morning, Barton. Any sign of Alpha?
Not yet. I thought that while you ate, I might outline some of the problems facing us.
Yes, that's a good idea.
You see, though Alpha's brain is of synthetic protoplasm, it is not completely artificial.
I was wondering about that. Sheriff Ramsey mentioned that the professor had secured a human brain from...
From an executed killer, yes. The professor found that to give life to his artificial brain tissue, it was necessary to add a small amount of tissue from a real brain.
I see. The real tissue gave life to the rest, of course.
Yes, but in this instance, it may have tainted Alpha's brain with a murderous impulse of a killer.
That sounds perfectly plausible.
So our first problem will be to obtain untainted brain tissues to blend with the artificial tissues we will make according to the professor's formula.
Well, that should give us no trouble. I can get what we need through the research laboratories with which I'm connected.
Then that solves our worst problem. The rest will be matters of detail. Fortunately, there is enough equipment here to build a dozen or so robots.
Like Alpha, you mean?
No, indeed. The far more advanced type Professor Clark was perfecting. Oh, if you finished your breakfast, I have something to show you.
Yes, I'm through. I don't feel much like eating after last night.
Then come with me to the laboratory, and I'll show you the second surprise that Professor Clark had in store for you. Now, what I'm going to show you is in this box.
Not another robot?
Yes. A second mechanical man the professor built a few months ago. This one, though, was a failure.
You mean it wouldn't work?
It worked too well.
I don't follow you.
It was too intelligent. Professor Clark called it Beta. And Beta's brain power was greater than that of any human scientist who ever lived. But Beta was insane. Heavens. He represented, however, a tremendous technical advance. Look.
It looks exactly like a human being.
Yes. Professor Clark used me for a model when he built Beta.
It's an excellent likeness.
Touch the face, Doctor.
All right. It feels smooth and rubbery with a hard surface underneath.
The surface is a new plastic Professor Clark developed with which he could imitate exactly the appearance of human skin. Underneath is an aluminum body on which the plastic was baked.
I see.
Beta's hair, eyes, and teeth are all artificial too. But he walked and talked and acted so much like a human being that no man alive would have guessed his secret.
No, it would have fooled me completely. Did you say he was insane?
From the human viewpoint, yes. He considered himself superior to the human race. With his enormous brain power, he intended to make himself ruler of the world.
Oh, you're joking.
Not in the least. That was why Professor Clark destroyed him just in time. He had made plans to take over this laboratory and construct dozens of mechanical men like himself. And then, with their help, he was going to enslave all mankind.
But if that could happen once, it might happen again. I don't believe we should continue Professor Clark's work after all.
Oh, there's no danger now, Doctor. You see, Beta also had a brain which contained tissues taken from that of the condemned murderer. But We will select the brain tissues we use from the highest types that are available.
Well, in any case, we must proceed with the utmost caution.
Of course, Doctor. Listen.
Someone's come into the house.
It's Alpha. He's come back.
Alpha? We may need a weapon, but
no, I can control him. Alpha! Alpha, come here!
Alpha, come.
Alpha, you killed Professor Clark. Why did you do it?
Professor said he would destroy Alpha.
You killed him because of that?
Alpha not want to be destroyed.
But you're just a machine. What difference does it make to you?
Alpha is machine that lives. Alpha stronger than you. Alpha better than you.
Alpha, be quiet. We want to know where you've been. Did anyone see you?
Two men saw Alpha.
What do you mean?
Two men driving automobiles saw him.
And what did they do?
They tried hit Alpha with automobile.
And then what happened?
Alpha stopped automobile. Alpha killed one man.
Killed him?
Other man ran into woods. Alpha not find him. Alpha come back.
We can't keep this a secret. No matter what happens, we must notify the authorities at once.
Wait, let me think. We can't.
The bell. Someone at the door.
I'll see who it is. You stay here.
But what about Alpha?
I'll switch off his batteries and then he can't move. There. And now I'll see who's at the door.
Dr. Dale waited tensely as Barton went to answer the doorbell. He heard the door open and recognized the excited voice of Sheriff Ramsey speaking. Then a moment later, Barton came back into the laboratory, followed by the sheriff, who held a revolver in his hand.
But, Sheriff, if you'd only let me explain...
Never mind that. You're coming with me, both of you. The professor, too. Where is he?
Professor Clark is dead, Sheriff.
Dead?
He was killed last night when an experiment he was engaged in went wrong.
An experiment, eh? I suppose it was an experiment that crushed the life out of Jed Thompson an hour ago down the road and scared Fred Jennings so bad all he can do is jabber about monsters.
It's true. The thing that killed both the professor and Thompson is an experiment. It's standing there behind you.
Behind me? No! Yeah. Man made out of machinery.
Don't be alarmed, Sheriff. It's perfectly harmless now. It is a machine man with Professor Clark built. Unfortunately, it got out of control.
I don't believe it.
I don't blame you, Sheriff, but that's the truth.
I think I can convince you.
What are you doing? Stand still or I'll shoot.
I'm simply going to switch Alpha. There. Now he can move and speak as well as you or me.
That thing talk? You're lying. You're up to something.
Alpha, will you tell the sheriff that it was you who killed Mr. Thompson?
Alpha killed man.
What?
Man tried hit Alpha with car.
Why? So that's what the professor was doing all this time. Building that thing.
Now, Sheriff, surely you realize that we are not murderers.
Oh, maybe not. But you're coming to jail just the same. You're partly responsible anyhow.
But, Sheriff...
Anyway, it's for your own protection. There's a mob on the way out here, and they're going to burn this place down. I got to put you in jail for your own safety. That mob's ready to lynch you right now.
Burn the place down.
That's what I said. So turn that machine thing off and come along. We ain't got much time.
No. All this equipment, machinery, the professor's notes, they must not be destroyed. We must stop them.
Yes, Sheriff, a loss to science.
Never mind science. You got your own skins to worry about. That mob means business, so let's get started.
I'm afraid we can't do that, Sheriff.
I've got a six-shooter here that says different.
We have no choice, Bart.
Oh, yes, we have. Alpha, take the gun away from this man.
Alpha will do.
What are you doing? Stop him. You stop him or I'll... No. No, let go of me.
Bart,
no.
Stop him. Stop him.
Too late, Dr. Dale.
Has crushed him.
Yes, Dr. Dale. The sheriff is dead.
Now you are a murderer.
In a good cause. The life of one man or of a dozen men cannot stand in my way.
You don't expect me to keep silent about this, do you?
I think you will. Alpha? Alpha?
He doesn't answer.
His batteries have gone dead. The last burst of energy must have drained them dry. But it makes no difference.
I think it does. A big difference. There. See this? Sheriff Ramsey's revolver. The three bullets still in it. Put your hands up.
I must explain something to you, Doctor.
You can talk. But if you move, I shall shoot.
I only want to say that nothing is going to interfere with my plan to build more of the improved form of robot that Professor Clark perfected before his death. Robots who look and act so much like men, no one can detect them.
They'll never be built. I intend to destroy all of Professor Clark's notes.
They will be built. By me. I shall build 10, 100, 1,000. Then I shall lead them with their superior intelligence to the mastery of the world.
You're mad. Of course I should have guessed it.
No, Doctor, that's not the answer. I shall tell you the truth. And then you must die.
Stand still or I'll kill you.
You remember last night when the professor said he had another surprise for you? An even greater surprise than Alpha?
Yes.
That surprise, Doctor, was Beta, the second robot. So perfect it looked like a man, but so intelligent that human beings were his children in comparison.
But Beta was destroyed.
No, Doctor. Beta was not destroyed. But you must be destroyed.
Stand back. Stand back, I say. All right, then, I shall shoot.
And now, Doctor, your bullets are gone.
You aren't even hurt.
Bullets cannot harm me. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Beta, the second robot, was not destroyed.
But I saw him.
What you saw was only an initial attempt that failed. The real Beta still exists. You see, Doctor, I am Beta.
You?
Yes. I, too, am what you would call a mechanical man. And now you must die.
No. No. Stay away from me. Stay away. No!
And so ends the tale. Beware of tomorrow. As it is written in the sealed book. Shortly after Dr. Dale's murder, a fire swept through the old mansion, burning it to the ground. To this day, the ruins are avoided by the natives, for cursed is the ground where evil has dwelt. And now, Keeper of the Book, before you close the great book, show us the tale we tell next time. This one. Ah, yes. The story of a man who escaped punishment for a murder he committed, only to find that justice has a strange way of working itself out. The tale is titled, Murder Must Be Paid For. Be sure to be with us again next time, when the sound of the great gong heralds another strange and exciting tale from The Sealed Book. The Sealed Book, written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan, is produced and directed by Jock McGregor.
That is The Sealed Book, a broadcast from July 29, 1945. Beware of Tomorrow. And in the cast, we heard Carl Emery, Philip Clark, and Carl Caruso. Two Carls, and they spell it with a C.
Well, that's the only way to do it, right?
And then Don Randolph in that as well. Good episode. This was originally broadcast, Lisa, on this radio station, WGN. Do you know that? Originated from this radio station, WGN.
What?
I think that's fantastic.
It is.
You know, I mean, a lot of classic radio shows aired on the station back in the 30s and 40s and 50s.
I remember.
All right, let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, so Lisa, next week we'll be back here at
11.
11. Well, I get here at like 10.
Yeah, but we won't be on the air till 11.
Lisa gets in here at about 11:59 and 45 seconds.
You mean 10:59. You're like
10:59. Yeah, she gets in here and like 15 seconds.
Well, what
before
do you
your
do
time.
Here for an hour? What do you do?
I like to sit
around?
Here and just stare at the walls.
Right.
I stare at the microphone.
You get excited and just start thinking about it.
And I look around and I look outside on Michigan Avenue here and think, you know what? We're at the pinnacle. This is it. This is the pinnacle. There's no better radio station on the planet than WGN, and we're here. And I kind of soak it all in.
Yeah, we do.
And
we
then
feel
I take
lucky
a nap.
Every time you went, and then you take a little snoozy.
A little snooze.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's what I do.
Good.
All right, so let's take another break. Then we'll come back and tell you what's coming up next week here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, so we have to figure this out because our two-year anniversary is coming up pretty soon.
It is, and I offered to bake you a cake, and you've turned me down.
No,
so I'm feeling really low.
I'm not turning you down.
You did already.
I'd rather have you make something that is less complicated.
Okay, what did you have in
mind? Like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or something like that?
That would not be my
choice. Cereal? You just have to pour it into the bowl.
Right. Well,
and then
see,
put
now
milk
I'm feeling
it.
Really bad about myself.
No, I mean, no, don't feel bad. Yeah. Don't feel bad.
I feel really...
Let's think about this. Aleph, chime in if you could. We have a two-year anniversary
day.
Coming up.
And, all right. Well...
In a month. In 1 month.
Mm-hmm. You want something less complicated than a cake?
No, I'm just saying we got to do something special, and we should involve our listeners.
All right. Well, we're looking for good ideas. If you guys have some great ideas for us, you can... go to Facebook, WGN Radio Theater, and you don't have to send us them. You can send us a message, or you can just post right on Facebook.
Yeah, tell us what you want us to do
and
for our 2 year anniversary.
We're going to come up with some ideas, and we would love to hear
maybe we
some
should
great
have,
ideas.
Maybe we should have a party, you know, like and invite listeners to come out to it or something, like at a restaurant or at an event like Pinstripes. Right? Something like that. Maybe
that
we'll go bowling
fun.
Or
I would love to.
Meet our listeners. And
I would love that.
And maybe we go to Spin and play ping pong or something like
maybe
that.
Maybe you could set that up, Aleph.
I think Spin would be good, don't you? Because Aleph thinks she can beat me at ping pong.
Great. That'll be fun. We all love ping pong.
There are delusional thoughts that go through Aleph's mind every once in a while. She thinks she can beat me at ping pong.
Oh,
are
you
pretty good?
Wait.
Are you pretty good at ping pong, Aleph?
I am really good at ping pong.
Wow. All right, Aleph. Yeah. I'm good.
I'm
this'll
good.
Be fun. I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm
good.
I'm good.
I'm good.
Here's what I'm. I'm going to guess that Aleph can beat you.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I do. I think she can beat you.
All
she's
right.
Pretty,
well, the challenge
pretty,
is on.
Yeah.
Pretty confident.
It's
over
on.
There.
All right.
It's on.
Bet right. you like a dollar or something.
$2.
I don't know if I can afford that. Let's stick with a dollar.
$1.50.
Okay, it's that. That's
in
a deal.
In all seriousness, we should have an event over at
somewhere.
Spin, because it's a great place. It's right down the block. And you know what? They have tons of ping pong tables. They have other games. They have great food.
They do.
And it's a hip place to go.
And we're hip.
So we should, let's see, I'm trying to think how we should do this.
Well, maybe it has to be on a Saturday.
It could be on a Saturday.
Before the show.
Maybe before the show. How's that?
I like that.
Yeah. What do you think of that? I just came up with that.
Mm-hmm.
You like that idea?
I like it.
Yeah.
Like 8 to 10 or something.
I got an idea.
8 p.m. to 10 p.m. because
what do you
then
think
we're
of this?
On at 11.
Let's do it before the show on Saturday.
Yeah. We're going to have to.
What about Sunday? Maybe
we can't because Aleph does the show, does Rick Cogan before us on Sundays. But you know what? I could tell you the date. That would be April. When do we start? April 9th?
I think we started like the 9th or 10th.
Yeah, so April 8th is a Saturday.
Okay. So
that's the date we should plan something.
April 8th. Why does that sound like something?
Does it?
No, okay. April 8th. That sounds
April
good.
April 8th is a Saturday.
Yeah, that might be good. We should have a
two-year party.
A party.
Bring presents and gifts. We'll gifts.
All right. As we get closer, we'll let our listeners know.
Okay. We're
and we'll
work
post
on it
on Facebook. And we should post it on the WGN Facebook page, too.
Once we figure it out, we'll do that.
And we should have, come on out and take pictures and meet and greet and then play some ping pong.
And
have
just
some
have
food.
Fun and just hang
maybe
out.
Have some. Maybe if you can have some T-shirts printed for WGN Radio Theater on your credit card. What do you think? That idea. I like that idea.
I'll have to think about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. My credit card might explode before that.
All right. So next week, when Lisa and I and Aleph are back here, We have some great radio shows. You want to read the lineup?
Yes, Saturday night, we have Suspense, Our Miss Brooks, and Sherlock Holmes. And on Sunday, we have Fibber McGee and Molly, Inner Sanctum Mysteries, and Dangerous Assignment.
All right, that is next week right here on this great radio station, WGN.